we do and who we are. I was here October 30th last year and spoke about manna and told you guys kind of our story and how we got to this point of being missionaries when we never expected to be missionaries, and what that has meant in our lives and how we absolutely get to do this thing called missions. So don't miss out on the fact that I truly, truly am honored and blessed and so excited to be here with you guys and to get to share with you today. Manna Worldwide was founded in 2001 by a guy named Bruce O'Neill. He was a missionary to the Philippines. He had been there church planting for years, and he actually got ill and ended up with a brain tumor, had to come home and get that brain tumor removed. And that left him unable to go back and live in the Philippines any longer. You'll remember while he was in the Philippines, if you were here last time, while he was in the Philippines, he had started this church and he had started a nutrition center and started feeding on kids and loving on kids within that. Well, a missionary took over that project for him. And pretty soon, this missionary contacts Bruce and says, "Hey, Bruce, you'll never believe what's happening. Kids are coming, they're getting fed physical food, rice and beans, but they're also getting the bread of life. They're hearing about Jesus for the first time. And they're going and they're taking it to their families at home, and many of their families are coming to faith, and their families are beginning to come to church, and it's blowing the doors off the church. How can we do this in other places?" So Bruce started traveling around the states and raising funds, started Manna Worldwide at that time, 2001, to basically plug in with churches here in America who are like-minded in their mission work and who are missionary at heart and who want to reach out across the world and say, "Hey, Authentic Life Fellowship can have an impact here in Greenville, and Authentic Life Fellowship can have an impact in Guatemala and in Cambodia and around the world by sharing the love of Christ and by feeding and loving on kids." And so Bruce started to travel around and plug churches here in with missionaries on the field, with churches on the field that wanted to come and bring kids into their church building or onto their premises and feed them and love on them and sometimes even provide homes for them and really just share the love of Christ with them. And so Bruce founded Manna, and it all began 2001. Now, fast forward over the years, Manna is working in 40-something countries, about 160-something different projects, everything from nutrition centers to orphanages, schools, medical clinics, anti-child trafficking projects, some sports programs, sort of like Upward Sports or something like that, if you've heard of it, but all based around the love of Christ. And how do we get Christ to people? How do we get Christ to the most desperate, the most hurting, the people that wouldn't come to your church otherwise? How do we get Jesus to those people? And I think God has blessed Manna because we're following His pattern. We're following the pattern of Christ in that Christ loved people. And He shared the gospel with them. And He shared Himself with them. And that's what we're doing around the world in lots of places. So thank you guys for having us, and thank you for plugging in here today. Today is going to be a bit different than maybe your typical sermon, your typical Sunday morning. It's going to be a bit different than Easter, I'm sure. It's going to be one of those things that is similar to something that Jesus did. Jesus often spoke in parables and stories. He often told a story about something and pulled in various biblical principles and Bible verses, right, into that story to paint a picture for you. Well, today, I want to paint a picture for you of a boy named Bikram, a boy that I know, a young man that I know now. I guess I can't call him a boy anymore. He's 18 years old now. But a young man that I know named Bikram in Nepal. And I've known him since 2008. He has come to faith with us in our orphanage there in Nepal. But I'm going to get to that in a minute because I want to tell you what happens when somebody like you gets involved in a child's life. What happens when somebody like you plugs in with somebody who doesn't know about Christ? What can God do with that? So, Bikram was born in a small village in Sindhupolchok, Nepal. Say that three times fast. Sindhupolchok, Sindhupolchok. It's a small village town in the mountains of Nepal. Most people, desperate poverty in this place. Most people, the vast majority, are Hindu. And that often means that they wouldn't even begin to listen to Jesus as the only option. Right? That means there's 30 million, sometimes upwards of hundreds of millions of gods and goddesses and figures and idols that they worship and that they go and pray to, and they do all these different ritualistic things too. And Bikram was born into that. He lived in desperate poverty in his young life. And in Asia, many, if not most, families live in this state of desperate poverty, this state of where's the food going to come from tomorrow or today, and desperate hopelessness because of lack of the gospel. Bikram ate rice and maybe some vegetables one or two times a day growing up, and many nights he would go to bed hungry. Right now, it's nighttime there, so there's a lot of kids going to bed tonight hungry in Asia. And he would drink dirty water each day because that was what was available in the village. And that's what's available in much of the developing world. And what that equals to is that most people he knew, including himself and his mom and his dad, were sick much of the time, often with things that would linger for their entire lives. Often, children under five actually die from lack of clean water in these places. He had no chance for formal education because it was too costly, and they couldn't afford the uniform or the books or the pencils. If you go to Asia with me someday, we take pencils and we'll give them to kids, and they act like it's, you know, the newest PlayStation game. Life was hard, and it became much more difficult for Bikram and his mom when his dad died. Because then all of a sudden it's just them, and Bikram was born into a Hindu family, and there's a cultural, sort of religious cultural belief in that area where if a woman's husband dies, she must have somehow cursed him. Her fault. And so instead of the community stepping in and loving her and saying, we need to lift this widow up and this child up and we need to love them and we need to protect them and care for them, they were shunned, cast aside. 70% of all malnourished children in the world live in Asia. Something like every 90 seconds a child dies as a result of drinking unclean water in the world today. So count the seconds. There are more than 20 million children living on the streets of Asia today who have been trafficked or are in forced labor scenarios. Rough estimates. So Bikram and his mom are alone. They're hurting. They're more desperate than ever. But at age 8, something changed. Something happened that is so phenomenal and such a picture of Christ and what he does for each of us. What he does, if you've accepted Christ in here today as your Savior, it's what he did for you. He stepped down into your desperate situation and into your poverty and into your aloneness and into your separation from God. He stepped in. Bikram met a man named Banad, who I've known since 2008 and grown to love as my brother. And he's a missionary guy. And he had started an orphanage. He had started a school down in a slum area in the city. And he met Bikram and his mom, and he said, look, if you're desperate, if you're hurting, if you're hopeless, if you're helpless, I can help. Let me take Bikram and love him and care for him and provide education and provide food. And let me introduce you guys to Jesus. So he did introduce them to Jesus. But I want to stop right here, and I want to ask a couple questions. One in particular, I think, is the most important question that we need to ask ourselves a lot. We need to ask ourselves, what does God say about this? So, what does God say about what you and I are to do about children who are in desperate situations like Bikram? Well, I think James 1:27 goes a long way towards answering that for us. In James 1:27, it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Listen to it. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So in looking after kids like Bikram and moms like Bikram's mom and loving these kids and doing these things that we get to do all over the world and that you guys get to do now all over the world, God defines that as religion that is pure and faultless. Man. Bikram soon moved to Peace Child Home, the orphanage that Jen and I went to in 2008, and began to flourish. Things began to change quickly with Bikram. But what if nobody went to help Bikram? What if nobody was on mission to rescue him? What if there wasn't somebody willing to give to ensure that he was cared for? What could have happened? Well, there's a lot of horror stories, but thank God that it's not Bikram's. Bikram's story is that he has continued to flourish at Peace Child Home since he was 8 years old, now 18. For the last 10 years, he heard the gospel for the first time there. He accepted Christ there. He's begun to share Christ in his community, and his friends and families around this orphanage have begun to come to faith there. All because God sent a man into his life. God sent a person into his life, a believer into his life, to say, you know what, you're important. You're important to me. And you're important to God, more importantly. He was not only rescued from the grips of poverty, man, he was given the bread of life. He was given Christ. In 2015, you remember I told this story last time I was here, I went and did some disaster relief in Nepal in the villages after massive earthquakes hit there. And Bikram is the little boy that I talked about that stood beside me and translated that first sermon to his people, to that village, that unreached people group. We are prayerful and excited to see what God does in Bikram's life. Just so prayerful that God's going to use him, continue to use him, maybe as a pastor or a missionary, maybe in the workforce, but God has done a work in his life. And you also remember I read Matthew 25 a little bit last time I was here, for I was hungry, and this is Jesus talking. He's telling the story, and he's saying, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, right? And he goes on, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, right? And then the righteous will answer him and basically say, when did we do any of that? We didn't do that. What do you mean? What do you mean? When did we do that to you? When did we do that for you? And Jesus wraps it up by saying, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You get the opportunity to do this through Jesus, because he gives us the resources, he gives us the heart, he gives us maybe that push towards taking the next step for God, but we also get to do it to him because he feels it. He's there. He's there in the moment when you look into the eyes of a child and you say, you know what, I love you, I care about you. Come on, get up. Let me tell you about this Jesus who loves you desperately. But another thing, there's more. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So as we talk about nutrition centers and orphanages, and we talk about feeding and loving kids, we talk about giving them physical food, we're doing something so much greater. We're giving them what Jesus describes as the bread of life. We're giving them Jesus. And they'll never be hungry again. Their soul will never be searching and lost again. And I want to take just a brief moment, because I don't want to be remiss in what I'm doing here today and to miss an opportunity for maybe you to understand that Jesus absolutely wants to offer you this bread of life, this continued walk with him today. If you're not a believer in this place, listen to the words of Christ. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Man, if you need that. If you need that, you need to make this decision today. Today's your day. Because God doesn't put anybody in front of you to share the gospel when it's not a moment for you to step forward and do something about it. And that thing that you get to do about it is just to believe and just to confess and say, man, I mess up every day. I do. Your pastor does. But you desperately need Jesus to fill that hole. You desperately need it. Just as these kids need it, you need it today. And then we want to go beyond that and we want to say Jesus alone brings satisfaction. If you believe in Jesus here today, if you have Jesus living inside you and living through you, then say this with me. He is bread. So I am satisfied. Man, don't we need that? Don't we need that in our culture? Don't we need to be satisfied in Christ? He is the bread of life. He satisfies all our needs. You get to effect eternity here today by providing these children with Jesus. He is the bread of life, and you can provide the bread, bread that never runs short, bread that satisfies through Him, to Him, with Him. Manna goes into these desperate, hurting places and meets with these people on their level and provides this bread in the way of physical food, but greater still, we get to provide the bread of life. We reach out to children in this way because we know it doesn't matter what you have in this life. Until you have Jesus, you will not be satisfied. And once you have Jesus, there's nothing anybody can do to make you dissatisfied in your soul. So more questions for you today, guys. What if God has His eye on you? What if God has His eye on your family? What if God wants this to be a decision point? I read a quote the other day that another missionary posted that said something along the lines of, God, make me a crisis man. Make me a man that stands in the middle of the street and people have to go one way or another when they meet me. And that's my prayer for me. But what if God has His eye on you? What if you're supposed to do exactly what I'm doing today with manna? Hey, we actually need to take on some more people. What if God wants to send you to the other side of the world? What if God wants you to step out in faith and say, I'll support a kid today through these projects? What if you could be the answer to a child's deepest prayer? There are children around the world praying, wishing, hoping for somebody like you to step up and to step in. And for Christ, you may never be more like God than when you take responsibility for a child in need. Let me say that again, church, because I think, let it soak in. You may never be more like God than the moment in time where you take the next step forward and you take responsibility for a child in need. Because didn't He do that for us? As children of God, didn't He step out and send Christ to step out and step down and humble Himself to us who were in desperate need? We had the law, but we couldn't follow it. I heard a pastor the other day talking about the law and Jesus. Maybe we could picture that as manna, the food that God sent from heaven to feed temporarily day by day, just to keep you going. Maybe the law was that. Maybe all the rules and regulations, all the things that we had to do to try to make ourselves clean before Jesus, maybe that was it. Maybe it was that bread sent daily that God was helping us do that daily walk. But then, maybe Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus was sent to show us the kingdom, to give us access to the kingdom, not just day by day, as physical bread can do, but for eternity, as the bread of life does. So you may never be more like God when you step out, take responsibility for a child like you and I, for a child like these kids that we get a chance to love on, to support, to provide hope and help to in Cambodia and Guatemala. I want to talk about Cambodia first, just because I see this girl over here that is just waiting to get to the Guatemala part, and I want to make her hold off another moment. Sorry. But I want to talk about Cambodia and a couple of the projects that we have going there that you guys will be plugging in with and helping support and that you will have a part in. The first is Phong Teek Village. We've got a couple nutrition centers in this village. It's a village outside of the city. It's one of the places that, A, really desperately needs the gospel, and B, it's one of those places where children are absolutely subject to some of the worst treatment as far as being sold into forced labor, being sold into sex trafficking, and things like that. It's one of those places where the wrong kind of people take advantage. And so we've been able to start two nutrition centers there through a missionary from the Philippines named Dr. Felipe Castro.
Daughter, you are human, and this is what you need to survive. Now, try to imagine you don't have one of these things, or all of these things. For the daughter that goes to sleep hungry at night, or the son who is forced to drink dirty water every day, it's reality. A reality where poor nutrition causes nearly half the deaths in children under five. But here's the thing, it doesn't have to be this way. You live in a time where it's easier than ever to help break the cycle of poverty that's holding children captive every day all over the world. We're MANA Worldwide, and by partnering with us, you can be the change in a child's life, and here's how it works. We work together to bring relief for the most urgent needs such as nutrition and medical care. Then we aim to make a long-term impact and empower these communities by providing education and starting churches. Your support tells these children that they don't have to live in fear of being without. Only then can we truly break the cycle of poverty by providing hope, hope for a future, and hope for an eternity. So we invite you to join us in what we've been doing since 2001 and ask you to give to a cause greater than ourselves. And give confidently, knowing that on average, 90 cents of every dollar goes straight to the field. And don't just give, go! We lead over 100 trips every year to your project so you can build a relationship with the children you support. Anyone can change the life of a child, so what are you waiting for? Change one life, change a family, change a community, city, country, change the world! It all begins with one. It all begins with you. MANA Worldwide, rescuing children from the grip of poverty.
Amen. Thank you, Craig. You know, Craig, I had a story much like yours. My Bikram is named Dina, and I was on a mission project in Guatemala. And I was standing up on the hillside overlooking the city dump in Guatemala. And from there, you could see, obviously, the dump, but you could also see what the people in the city call the scavengers. And that day, my team and I had the privilege of going and serving at a ministry that the back door of the ministry opens to this city dump. In preparation of going there, we were going to serve lunch to these kiddos. And I said, well, what do they usually have? And they said, well, a little rice, a little chicken goes a long way. You know, a meal there and a meal here is kind of different. And I said, well, you know, we're from Texas, and we do things big in Texas. I said, is it possible that we can serve hamburgers, French fries, and ice cream? And she goes, yeah. And so we had prepared to do that, to serve all these kids, hamburger, French fries, and ice cream. And I remember we're serving it, and I noticed this little girl under the end of the table with her hamburger. And I asked her, I said, what is she doing? Why isn't she eating? And she says she wants to take that home to her family so they all can eat. And I said, ask her to come out and have her eat that burger. And you tell her that she's going to take burgers home for her family. And her name's Dina. I said, what is this little girl's name? Her name's Dina. I said, I want her to be our child. I walked straight from serving lunch into their sponsorship program. And we sponsored Dina. And she grew up strong, both spiritually and physically, until she promoted out of the program. And, you know, you ask yourself, what good can I do? You can't save them all. No, I couldn't save them all. But we could make a difference in one. Where Dina is today, only God knows. But I know that being the hands and the feet of Jesus that day, and subsequently had a chance to go back and actually visit her. And I remember the day I walked in and she recognized me like I'd been there every day. She grew up and promoted out of that program. And I've thought about it for a while. And I'm here to tell you this morning that my bride and I are committing publicly. And Craig, I'm not a mathematician. You can ask about anybody. And I do love Guatemala, but I'm thinking about Cambodia, and I'm looking at $335. My mathematician skills tell me that if eight families would join my bride and I at $35 a month, we could fund the whole project. And so that's what I'm going to invite you to do. $35 per person, per family, however you want to do it. If you'll join my bride and I, eight more commitments, we can fund the entire, both projects in Cambodia. So, Craig, I'm telling you, on behalf of my bride and my kids and I, we're committing to one. And if you'll join me, you can make that note on your card. If you want to commit in a different way, I absolutely respect. And, you know, if you need to pray about it, I get it. But the scripture says go. And you know what, Craig, I got to thinking, it'll cost me more than one cup of coffee a week. It's that little snack that goes with it. Because my cup of coffee costs me $5.05 when I go to Starbucks. Don't ask me how I know that. But ladies and gentlemen, do we really? I know in my own life, sometimes I use the, hey, I'll pray about it, simply as an excuse to push it down the road in hopes that maybe someone will just forget. I'm not going to let you off that easy. $35 can change a kid's life forever. And you know that we transform the world not through bombs, although bombs are necessary, sadly, through the transformation of the heart. It's Jesus one heart at a time, one kid at a time, and that kid grows into a family, and that family changes, and that family changes a village. And you know what happens? You change enough villages, you change a country. If you change a country, you just might change the world. So today, I want to invite you to join my bride and I. If you want. Eight people at $35 a month will fund the entire Cambodia, both projects. And you say you're going when? In the fall? Or is it next year?
I can take a team in December.
Okay.
Or we can push it off next summer.
Okay. So if someone sponsored today and they wanted, they could go see their project in December or next year. Okay. All right. I'll tell you, it'll rock your world. So this is my charge to you. Fill that card out, and Craig and Jennifer will be at their table at the end of the service. Is this the way you want to do it? And you could come by and hand it to them, and we'll figure the rest out after that. If you want to take it with you, please do. But I'm just going to tell you just straight up, it won't get any easier to commit than it will right now. It just get harder. And so I'm going to encourage you to do it before you leave campus today.